It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello and welcome to the Travel Bet Podcast for Saturday, the 27th of June, 2020. I'm your host, John Walker, and with me as always is Andy Vaughan.
Good afternoon, John.
And Goddo.
Hello.
Think that's any better?
I'd be pretty standard.
Gary, the producer, is nominating, is putting forward that I don't introduce it with enough charisma. I think he wants like a game host. I'm not Shane Ritchie, right? Hello and welcome to the Travel Bet Podcast. It's never going to be like that.
Oh, that's going to be some serious clipping for the people listening to that to start with.
Yeah. No, it's standard. Know what to expect. The three of us are here off the back of another good week.
Oh, they're good in the street.
An excellent week. Like, I love... So, for anyone, like, we need to maybe just share a picture of how I monitor this just on a spreadsheet. It just gets green or red. You're in or out. And since we have returned without any form table being able to go on for the previous 3 months, we seem to have been hitting so much green, it's unbelievable. I've not missed a banker. Like, I know that sounds obvious. Like, if you're calling one of your sections a banker, you shouldn't. But still gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm 100% on my bankers just now, midweek and full episode. Delighted now.
Is going very well. I hit a big banker at the weekend. That's a good banker at odds of 4-6.
What, Wolfsburger, Andy?
Yeah, Kickers versus Kemnitzer. They won 3-0. It's comfortable. Nice and easy. 4-6.
Super. 4-6 is one of the biggest bankers I think we've had up. It must be.
Yeah, it's a big... That's big for a banker. Like, I just couldn't see any other outcome in that game and didn't know why they were that high.
Yeah. Oh, no, it might not be... It'll be the biggest one we've hit. Did you not have one before in Japan that moved overnight, like, 4.5-1? You're right. I was like, I can't get odds yet. Oh, shit, they're actually 5-1.
The team's all out with a virus or something. Yeah, yeah. Like happened midweek this week.
Yeah, who was it that highlighted that?
Jason Stott.
It was Jason Stott.
So that was the game in. So that was Sochi versus Rostov.
Yeah. Fucking Rostov giving it the old, fuck you, bring it. Like, this game's going to end.
They did not take the lead.
They did. Kelly as well come back and said he backed them, and he was like, fucking should have cashed out at 1-0.
They lost 10-1.
It finished 10-1, and the keeper that let in 10 goals was the man of the match. Because he made 15 saves, including a penalty save. Like, his goal just got battered, and he's 15, and he's 15 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, the goal was 15?
Yeah, but the whole team, it was their under-17 team.
I know, but I didn't realise, like, what, like, that could have been 17-year-olds, which doesn't make it that impressive to me.
Oh, a 15-year-old kid. Just right, playing.
I'm going to Google his name because he deserves to
an actual shout out. Of course,
because that is unbelievable.
But that was recognised, and he got man of the match for it in a game he lost 10-1. So he might just getting the goal battered by like a professional football team. You're 15 years old. That must be so hard.
Denis Popov. The week is amazing, though. What's his name? Sorry, John.
Denis Popov. Well played.
Well played.
You are Trample Bet's first man of the match.
Hopefully you never concede 10 goals again. Did anyone have over 10.5 goals?
So in
8.5.
So luckily, and we said this on the podcast last week, so usually, John, I back all the bankers as a treble, and then all the values, depending on odds, as a treble, and then the outsiders as a Trixie. But last week, I only backed yours and my banker as a double. Because I just hated Gordon's one so much.
So and usually I
always just go with the treble. I just do it because we're all staking our opinions out there and we'll see. But Gordon, I just couldn't see why that was a good idea.
Actually, I'd watched the full game and then. Yeah, it was exactly as you said. It's like we don't have the fitness to do that press.
No, it was awful. The game was actually.
It was dreadful.
Terrible.
wasn't a good watch. So that's Liverpool against Everton, and it just ended 0-0. It was pretty poor match.
Yeah,
but you made up for it elsewhere, certainly.
Yes, so
my banker quickly was a goal in the second half for Tottenham. Man U, Fernandez. Man U were a much better side. The goal was going. I think you'd messaged me, Andy, but I hadn't seen it until after the game. I felt like the goal was always going to come. Like I did feel like Man U were going to get a goal.
Took a penalty for it to happen, but
my value for last week, then, to move on to things that actually won for me, was Paderborn versus Mönchengladbach, and both teams to score. Paderborn have continued their. Well, I mean, they won't be continuing their stint in the fucking Premier League, the Bundesliga, much longer. However, they since they're rock bottom, but they've scored every week at home since November, and they continued that by losing 3-1 to Mönchengladbach.
Yep, and good shout.
2-3. So
I had Braunschweig to beat Munster, which they obliged and did at odds of 5-7 with a 1-0 win. So another value in.
And my value did not come in this week. It was Bournemouth versus Crystal Palace. I had pointed out that these two teams were the highest scoring in the last 25 minutes of games and the second half in general. But Crystal Palace ruined that by scoring their first goal in the opening 15 minutes of a game this season and following it up with only scoring this twice in the first half for the second time this season. So it was just an anomaly. The game was dead by half-time. Palace were always in control of the game. They didn't have to do anything.
Even
at 2-0, Bournemouth were too scared to really press because they knew they still had Townsend to come on, Zaha on, Ayew on, Benteke on. Crystal Palace are really fucking... See, for anyone in the bottom half of the table, Crystal Palace are a really tricky side to go down to because Zaha, Ayew and Townsend on the break are phenomenal. And like even the likes of McArthur and Milojevic, they've got excellent midfielders as well. Like, they're a really good side.
Yeah.
Like, Roy Hodgson has just pure repaired all the damage that, like, his Liverpool and England stint done just by going, oh, no, I'm very capable of building. Because Palace can still make Europa League.
Yeah, and Palace are one of these teams that, like, you know, if they have early 2000s Spurs, kind of where, or late 2000s Spurs, where they should be challenging for, like, Champions League isn't, you know, a good run doesn't see them doing too badly against teams that are playing in the Champions League, kind of, and I mean, and they rolled us over a couple of years ago for that, when we fucked the league again. Like, that was that, you know.
Well, she was up next, Gordo. Midweek.
I know. I hate playing Crystal Palace. I hate playing Crystal Palace.
Did you see the advert for Sky? Like, somebody was showing that it's not just terrible Scottish biasness by Sky when they're promoting games. It was like,
no.
It was just showing Liverpool goals, like, in pure, like, blood screen. You could see all the images of, like, Kenny Dalglish, John Barnes, Robbie Fowler, Steven Gerrard, and then it just came up at the side, Liverpool versus Crystal Palace. Like, what? That was just the Liverpool documentary you advertised there.
Aye.
So folks are like, it's not just old fan bias, by the way. They do it in England as well. They just don't give a shit about anyone lower than that.
They're just trying to promote their product.
Yeah.
Outsiders?
No, I
thought you did your value.
Sorry. Oh my god. Why would I not have wanted to give this the big up? Because my outsider was fucking tremendous as well.
So I'll start with my terrible one then, and then you can roll into your one. Actually,
your one wasn't terrible.
Famalicão versus Braga, 11-4. I was definitely on the right side of that.
Yeah,
it was a 0-0 draw.
Not a bad bet.
Nothing happened. It was one of the dullest games, I think, maybe in Portuguese history. I think there was like four shots on target the whole game. Famalicão are clearly a very good defence, and Braga can't score. So, 0-0. Friday, I was happy with the price of that, but close you can get without actually doing it, isn't it?
My outsider was in La Liga. It's Espanyol versus Levante. It was the early kickoff on Saturday. Levante away were 13-5, so almost 3-1. I really fancied them. Espanyol are the worst home team with the way home form's going just now. Levante won each at half time. They'd taken the lead actually. It went 2-1 on 75 and then 3-1 on 80. So it was in. It ended up being as simple as it was. But when I looked at it at half time, I was out of hill walk. Looked at it at half time when I finally got signal and it was 1 each. But Levante had like 78% possession away from home. I was like, they are absolutely battering them. There's no way. Like, seeing games like this, like, if you're already getting dominated in the first half, you're not likely to overturn that in the second half with players being tired. Even with your five subs, it's not going to happen. Andy, your one kept changing odds.
People must have known how confident I was in this because the odds just dropped every single day in the run-up to this game. So I think when I tipped it, it was 12-5. Because on the last week's podcast, I gave the option of I've got two outsiders, which one do I put in the charity, which one do I put here? New Zealand away at Aalborg were 12-5. I think they went off at 11-8 by the time that kicked off. It's the most comfortable outsider I've ever picked. They won 4-0.
It's the most comfortable outsider we've had.
Yeah,
4-0 after an hour. Everything about the game was just Norgeland. 21 attempts at goal in that game. Like they absolutely bossed the entire 90 minutes and won comfortably. So for a 12-5 pick, delighted.
We've joked about this, right? We are by no means a big podcast, right? We have a good listenership, right? Good consistent listenership. See if we do a podcast on a Thursday, Friday that comes out and we had maybe 5 or 6 people back in a Danish mid-table clash, that could easily be enough to affect odds in the UK. Like if, say, 100 people join in, nobody's betting in those leagues. Like if you're getting 500 quid through on Norgeland at 2-1, you're maybe going to go, the fuck's happening here? why have we got this? Why are we getting so many bets through from the Danish mid-table for an away team that aren't the favourites? I mean, that's all that happened with Rostov initially, right? People were betting, then they went, oh, fuck, they've got people out.
Yeah, totally. I don't understand why New Zealand, maybe they don't follow the league as closely as I do, but holy hell, they've been the form team for the last 6 months against a very average Aalborg. Like, 4-0 was not surprising to me.
And as good as it was, unfortunately, by the way, we chose, Andy, you gave us the option which one to put in the charity, which one not. We could have got the charity up had we reversed that round.
I think in the charity bets, we've got 2 out of 3 the last 3 weeks running, and it's been a different one of each of us each week. Because it was Gordon, then John, then me. So we'll get my bad shout out of the way. I took Union Berlin away at Hoffenheim just because Hoffenheim haven't been up to much. I wouldn't have taken this pick if we'd recorded the podcast on Thursday,
because
Union Berlin beat Paderborn midweek, and that basically ensured their safety in the league and meant this game didn't matter anymore to them.
Aye. Rostov's keeper could have got a game played in this one. That's it. And you get me.
So hopefully people maybe saw that and went, right, because we did mention there were midweek fixtures between when we recorded and when this would happen. Union Berlin's one was very winnable. So they won against Paderborn and just got rolled over against Hoffenheim. But your two picks were excellent.
Yeah, I'd bet against Jena, just because I had to. Victoria Kern, 5-4, they were away. They won 3-2. They were 3-1 up. We have 20 minutes to go. It was very comfortable. Jena are just absolutely rotten, man. They are so, so bad.
And I had Wolfsburg away to Schalke. Schalke have been dreadful. Truly dreadful.
Yeah, they're actually shite, right? Shite.
4-6. So that was that for an away team.
Yeah.
It's quite a short price. so that was it. So 2-for-4 for me on that, with Liverpool really being the big letdown for a mega week.
3-4 for me, my value missed.
Yep, 3-4 for me. So missed the charity, which equated to 2-3 in all categories across the board.
Nice.
So well,
nice.
Well done, guys. Let's hope we get another week like that.
Yeah, let's continue on to this week's picks. Then I'll go first. So this is for the weekend of Saturday, 27th of June, 2020. My banker is Dortmund versus Hoffenheim. Goal in the first half is 2-9. Neither of those teams have much to play for. I think it's just a massive fuck you. Just go and do what you want. I reckon there'll be changes in the teams, but I reckon there'll be a lot more of those football. There'll be attacking football. Like I said with the Mainz pick last week, midweek, all Dortmund's first half since returning have had a goal. Hoffenheim are conceding goals at an astronomical rate just now. I just can't see this not being goals, and I cannot see there being a goal early on. It just has to be. There needs to be a goal early on. And 2-9 is very good. But we have spoken before. I'm taking screenshots of these odds because they do change fucking rapidly when it's stuff like this. So you're betting on any goal in the first half. It's currently 2-9 for my banker. I've got a screenshot of proof, right? But I do not know what it'll be in like 3 days.
I can't even tell you the odds on my banker yet because the fixtures are happening so quick and so fast especially in lower leagues. There's a game in between when we record and when these games happen. So it's Bayern 2 away at Karlsruhe Siena. Bayern are top of that league just now on 58 points, but there's a team on Braunschweig also on 58, and there's two teams on 57. So it's really tight. Points matter at the top of the league. Jena are marooned at the bottom. They've got nothing to play for. You've just said, John, they're absolutely terrible.
So bad.
There's no way Bayern 2 do not win this game. So I can't give you odds on it just now. They're playing away from home at Karlsruhe Siena. It's a banker bet. They should just be on every coup. They'll win.
I like the conviction there. John, I'm going to take something you said in the midweek podcast about Espanyol being the worst home team in the league, and I've taken Real Madrid away at Espanyol. This is the best away team versus the worst home team. 11 points all season at home. Espanyol have picked up. Madrid have returned well, 3 out of 3. Espanyol have won 1, drawn 1, lost 1. Unsurprisingly, their loss came at home. Barca have slipped a bit. So Barca gave them a bit of leeway now. They're both on the same points. They need to capitalise. 1 to 2. Banker.
It's a really solid bet. I don't see how that doesn't come in. It's ironic. You've seen Real Madrid are actually technically playing all their games away from home.
Yeah.
Like all of them. Like they're playing on their academy stadium outside. Like I only just noticed that. So I was watching the game against maybe Valencia. What was the game? They won 3-0 there.
Let's have a look. The game they won 3-0 was against Valencia. Yes, at home.
And I was watching it going, it's really weird. The Bernabeu for this camera angle, we all like just the banners up, looks really, really odd. And then it wasn't until about 15 minutes in, it was like a view of the goalie taking a goal kick from behind. And it was just like this small one-tiered stadium. And I was like, oh, they're not playing at the Bernabeu. Because they went, why the fuck would I ruin my stadium if it's not going to make any difference?
Yeah, totally.
Like, I don't need people in. Have you seen that Hamden are talking about, like, try to get people to use their stadium when football comes back? For the likes of, say, like a Dundee United or a Hearts, Motherwell, anyone that would want it, because like if Dundee United were to fill like a 15,000 stadium, they kind of get everyone in. But if they played their game at Hampden, they could get all their fans in and they could have it distanced. That was like the kind of selling point, was you could get it, you wouldn't, like those clubs wouldn't have to lose important gate money.
Dundee's quite far away from Glasgow.
Yeah.
As someone that does that journey the other way every week to get Dundee, that's
the best thing ever for you.
For me, considering I live within walking distance of Hampden, that'd be wonderful.
Because I think Murrayfield were considering doing the same for Hearts and Hibs as well, and like saying, "Well, there you go. Like we could play games here if you wanted all your fans in and have it distanced so they could get to games." I was kind of going, "It's like that. That's actually a decent idea rather than having it just." Empty stadiums going, nah. I'd like, it actually does make it much more sensible. Why wouldn't we have some form of crowd in?
Mm. 25 quid for me to get my cardboard cut out at Tannadice for the beginning.
Are they already organised that?
Season ticket holders, $25.
Yeah. No, I suppose it's like this. I seen a Blackburn fan actually tweet about Charlie McGrew. Like he happened to be like sat next to Charlie McGrew. It was like fucking somebody was just sat next to him.
That's brilliant. So yeah, so I'll obviously be doing that for the Dundee Wright game. If any listener wants to do it as well, just go on Dundee Wright's website, get yourself to Tannadice virtually.
And I've totally bailed. I've totally renewed a season ticket because I knew I would, because the closer it was getting to it, I couldn't not. It was just really annoyed me to that point. I knew I was never. I think I even said at the time, I knew I was never really not going to get a season ticket, right? But I'm annoyed that I did, and I'm still annoyed that I have. I'm annoyed that I've now signed it and went, aye, cool.
Old habits die, John.
I know. It's always going to happen. I'm just hoping that, like, I think Italy have said that they've not seen any trace of the virus anymore in their country. I think Germany had a couple of cases crop up, but they've kind of reopened, so they're, like, kind of going with a couple. So I know the R rate's so high, but it's only based in the last few days. I'm hoping that it's just been, that it's actually escalated quicker, where they're going, no, I think we're actually over the very worst part now, and we don't really see where the second spike until way later could come. And I'm hoping it's a quick turnaround then at the stadium now. I think I've kidded myself on it to be like, nah, that's it now. It's going to be, stadiums are going to be quickly filled. What do you need to do? A few tests of like a quarter of a stadium to go, right, this is doable. Or am I now being just hopeful because I've splashed out 700 quid?
I think so. However, I like your hope.
I think you're being hopeful because I'm on the other side. I'm on the side of I'd already written the money off. I won't be seeing any games. So any games I get to see in person is a bonus for me now. But yeah, let's recap the bankers. So it's Bayern 2 away at Jena.
I had Madrid away at Espanyol.
Dortmund-Hoffenheim, goal in the first half.
Now, speaking of season tickets, on to the values, John.
Yeah, I've basically done two outsiders here. I've not really taken a value, but I will explain because the term still exists. Wolfsburg versus Bayern. Wolfsburg need to win to try and secure a Europa League spot. That has to happen. Bayern have a cup final a week after against Leverkusen. Bayern have won the league. Bayern have nothing to gain from playing this game. They have nothing to gain from putting out a full-strength side. As it stands, Wolfsburg are 3-1 to win at home. I see no reason why they're not going to roll over Bayern here. Bayern are going to have to use their squad. Now, don't get me wrong. That involves Kingsley Coman coming into the team.
It involves
Martinez coming in. But I would not be surprised if Bayern were to rest all 11 key players for this game. Because if they got sent off for some reason, they missed the final. If they get injured, they miss a final. There's no worthy risk here for them to do this. They've won the league. They will finish top. They have a cup final a week later against Leverkusen. They're a very good side. It's not worth it. And Wolfsburg have the motivation of needing to win this game. So 3-1, Wolfsburg at home to Bayern Munich, who have nothing to play for.
I looked at that as well. It didn't feature, but that was one of the things I was like, oh, that's quite interesting.
I think it's the word. Tasty, spicy. My value Saturday at 1 p.m. I presume it's going to be value. Again, it's the Dritte Liga, so the odds aren't out yet. So have a look for this. Braunschweig away at Zwickau. Zwickau are not very good. Their last two games have been a 3-0 loss at home to Ingolstadt and a 1-0 loss away at Grosspark. Now, I don't really rate either of those two teams. Braunschweig have been incredibly good. I've been picking them consistently midweek and weekend. They've been very good. They're good away from home performers, the whole stats just now say. That's where you should be looking. They need points. They've managed to get themselves into a title race. So depending on what goes on midweek, they'll still be in it regardless of what goes on midweek is the point, because they're joint top with Bayern 2 on 58 points. Zwickau are in the relegation zone just now, and they're not going the right way. So I think you'll get Braunschweig a decent value here. I think they'll probably be odds on, but if you're getting anything around 4-6 or better.
And it's exactly what I just wrote in the spreadsheet. I've got 1-4 for your banker, and I think I've got 4-6 for this. Those odds kind of sound sensible to me.
Knowing the leagues, that's what I expect the odds to be around. And if you're getting anywhere around 4-6 for Braunschweig there, I think that's a great pick.
Yeah, I do. I like there's been few teams in... It just happens to be ones that you and Gordo have picked out in Germany. There's been teams who have just been consistent since the return. Like they've just been really consistent. I don't see how you couldn't back teams like that, especially if the odds are decent. But I would again view it. Like I think if they pump a team midweek, the odds might change slightly, but who knows?
Well, that brings me on really nicely to Stuttgart versus Darmstadt, because they're another team who are exactly the same position. Stuttgart have handed out two doings in the last 2 weeks. They won 5-1 and 6-0 in the last two games. They struggled coming back out of lockdown. They had a 0-0 draw in there, a very frustrating one that I think one of us had backed as well. But they've came back. They're playing against Darmstadt. Darmstadt aren't a bad team. They're in fifth position, 49 points, but Stuttgart, the form team since they've came back, get 10 points from the last five. Darmstadt have got 7. However, I just think Stuttgart are a better team than Darmstadt. And I think for the price of at the price of 3-5, I'm quite happy taking Stuttgart. It's a low-priced value bet for me.
It's a low-priced value bet, but hey.
But I think it is value. So, Stuttgart at home, they've played at home 16 games and they've got 38 points. They excel at home. And if you look at Darmstadt's away record, they lost to Arminia Bielefeld, they lost to Jan Regensburg, they lost to Karlsruhe, they beat AUE, Stuttgart versus Darmstadt, the last two times has been played, has been 2-0 and 2-1. unfortunately, those were a couple of years back again, so there's no historical hoodoo or anything in there. 3-5, I think they fit the category of Bayern 2 and Braunschweig. So, 3-5.
I think you hit the nail on the head a bit with the doings, Gordo. I think you can add 2.5 goals in that game as well. Ooh. I think that'll probably get you closer to over evens with that, actually. Yeah. I can't see the odds yet because they're playing midweek. So
I know that's the only problem, and that's quite good because it's a Bundesliga 2. I can get the odds that for the game, but the not game, the more kind of fine, the more small stuff.
My outsider is a draw, so it's 13-5. Union Berlin versus Dusseldorf. Dusseldorf have drawn 4 out of their 7 games since returning. Union's record has played 6, 1-2, lost 2, drawn 2. I think it's got to draw in over it. Union are safe. Dusseldorf, I don't think, can do much. I just think it's a nothing game. And I think the draw, just based on how the results have been going, is a really, really good bet. I wouldn't put a score on it. I wouldn't predict whether it's 0-0, 1-1. I just really, really fancy the draw. I don't think there's anything in it for any team. But yeah, I think Dusseldorf drawn 4 out of 7 games is awful. And Union have drawn 2 out of the last 4 as well, but it's 2-2-2 is the record. I really fancy this at 13-5. I was maybe going to put it in my charity, but it's just the odds pure change. Like, I mean, I've basically got 2 outsiders this week, 13-5 and 3-1. I really fucking fancy both of them. It'll be a double that I'll put on, and I think it's really, really good. We've picked loads of bets for Germany.
Do you know the only thing I'd say about the Dusseldorf Union Berlin game is that Dusseldorf need a result to make sure they're in the relegation playoff instead of the relegation. Like the if Bremen win and Dusseldorf lose, they are automatically relegated as opposed to being in the relegation playoff.
Yeah, I've not actually noticed that goal difference score though. You're right. Fucking hell, I think I thought Bremen were on 26. I'm not changing.
I think that they're going to try to hammer Union Berlin. I think Union Berlin are good enough to hold up against them. That's something that maybe take in a note.
Yeah, I've only looked up that they can't catch Augsburg, but I didn't realise that was a relegation playoff spot. I still think it's a draw.
Look at his face, there was pain in it.
I'm sticking with my draw. I'm a wee bit more concerned about outside with the Bremen Köln game, but I'm going to stick with a draw. Yeah, stick with a draw. There's no way Bremen aren't winning that match. Fucking hell, that game could be a draw and all. I might be going. Yeah, here, I'm going to add another outsider in there.
I think 3 outsiders.
Hey, you can't be doing this.
No. You can do it in the other bet section, right?
Okay.
So we track these so that we've got some sort of historical record, John. We can't go just fucking...
I'm going to take 12 bankers this week. Ooh, that'll be fun.
So my outsider this week's in the Danish Superliga on Saturday at 5 o'clock. I am taking bottom of the league, Silkeborg, stranded on 20 points, 13 points behind Lyngby, to win away from home at Sonar Jyske at huge odds of 4-1. So Silkeborg haven't been great all season. They're very much... So the Danish league is weird. It splits into 3 sections. It's just recently split about a fortnight ago. So you get the top... you get the top teams split off, and then it sort of pyramids out into 2 relegation groups. It's a bizarre way of doing it, but it basically means you play the same teams really thick and really fast because they're in a little group of 4. They're in relegation group 1. So they've played Sonar Jyske and Silkeborg. They've played each other several times of late. They played each other last week, 21st of June, and Sonar Jyske won that game 2-1, but only as a result of Silkeborg being ahead and then getting a man sent off. So Silkeborg were 1-0 up at halftime. In the second half, in the 68th minute, they got a man sent off and then conceded 2 goals in the last 15 minutes to lose 2-1. So they're very, very capable, 11v11, of matching Sonar Jyske for all they've got. If you look, there was a game on the 7th of June where the sides drew 2-2. So these are two closely matched teams that can perform well against each other. There's no way one of them should be 4-1. It's too big a price. I certainly wouldn't be backing Sonar Jyske at odds of
2-3 or 5-8 or whatever they'll be. Like, that's a terrible bet. So being on the other side of it and taking Silkeborg at 4-1 is something I'm more than happy to do.
Yeah, having watched Silkeborg, and they also beat play
6-0.
Yeah.
So, do you know what I mean? They're not total trash. They can come out and put in a good performance.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched them recently. They're capable, I think lockdown's helped them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've came back and they're better than they certainly were before the break.
Yeah, and having played this team twice in the last month and drawing one of them and losing the other one only as a result of going down to 10 men, I think 4-1 is madness. So very, yeah, very happy.
Decent. Well, I am back in the Spanish second division for mine, and mine's Malaga versus Girona. Another awful... I only moved to Spain for outsiders because the teams are just dreadful that are playing against each other. They're uninterested in performing at any for any interesting football. And the head-to-head in this game, let me just take you through it. The head-to-head in the last three times these teams have met have been 1-0, 0-0, 1-0, right? So there's it's not a fun game of football to ever be played. They've drawn, Malaga have drawn 3 out of the last 5 games. Girona have drawn 4 out of their last 5. I can see this game being a 1-1 draw or a 0-0 draw. It's 2-1. I mean, if you look at the odds for whatever happens in this game, 2-1 for a home win, 2-1 for a draw, 13-8 for an away win. Right? It just looks like another miserable game to add to this. Malaga's one of their actually losses instead of draws recently was a 90th minute goal again. So they escaped another draw on their list by an incredibly late goal. I just seen this being 1-1 or 0-0. I looked at the brackets for that, and you can do 1-1, 0-0, 2-2. Yeah. It's close to the price of a draw anyway because you're just guarding against 3-3 or 4-4. So yeah, a terrible game of football to avoid watching. However, bet on it. 2-1.
I'm on it. I'll go on that as well. I think it's just so bad.
It's terrible. It's just grim.
Okay, so that's our picks. That's us get 3 each. The charity pick, which we've not managed to hit since returning yet.
Yeah. But we've got 2 every week.
Mm-hmm. Right, so we need to try and figure out what the weak link is before. I mean, nothing we can do. We're going to put the bet on anyway. My charity pick, so it's £10 of road money on the treble, 1 pick each. All the winnings go to Beats and Cancer Trust, which is run by Paul Sheeran just now. And if it doesn't, can we give the value of whatever we'd been losing bets? So if we lost every week of the year for 40 weeks of the season, we'd give £400 at the end. I think we've given way over that already this season just due to different winnings that we've had.
Yeah.
My pick, Aston Villa versus Wolves. I'm taking the away team Wolves, even money, just because of how much I've seen against West Ham. Wolves were amazing going at the end. Aston Villa against Chelsea, although they took the lead. Chelsea were such a good side in the second half. I really think, see with them signing Werner. Although, having said that, see, since they've brought Giroud into the team, around February time, instead of Abraham, it's the same thing France done instead of having Benzema playing as centre forward. They've just realised that having a wall player to bounce off of and having 5 attacking players right around them is so much more beneficial than having another person that moves the same way as Willian, Pulisic, Pedro, Barkley. Giroud comes to feet and they all run in behind. It works for France. It'll work for Chelsea. Werner, I think, I assume they're signing him as a centre-forward because that's where he plays. But then what, is that Giroud out? Because Abrahams isn't going to sit there. It'd be interesting to see what they do. But the flip side to that is the football is fucking really good. I think we talked about it. I remember seeing that tweet when Lampard was in the Chelsea job about 2 months and somebody said, Frank Lampard's done the impossible. He's made Chelsea good to watch. That's what it was for me. I was like, oh my God, I can actually watch a Chelsea game and be like, this is all right, actually. It's enjoyable football. It's not just the same like Mourinho, Ancelotti. It wasn't like the same thing again.
He's done a great job.
Really good. So it'll be good to see them get on, but the main part being is I thought Aston Villa were fucking dreadful in the two games that I've seen them. And I think the way Wolves are playing, I think I really fancy Wolves to come out of this. Again, odds might change. I might change my opinion, to be honest, before the weekend. This is Tuesday just now. There's a run of fixtures before that. But I do fancy Wolves to get the win at Aston Villa. It's a derby as well.
For the charity bet,
and this is one of the reasons that I wanted you to stay quiet earlier. It's Bremen versus Köln. The German Bundesliga on Saturday at 2:30 p.m. This is a game that Bremen will be pushing to win. It's also a game that FC Cologne will be keen. They're on 36 points. They're not great. I think both teams will score in this game, which you will get at 6-10.
I really like that bet because it does tie in with what I was going to say, so that's fine.
Yeah, I just didn't want you to ruin it in a previous section. I'll be like, oh, well, we've already done this. But yeah, if it ties in with your thinking, that's great. Yeah, there's been plenty of goals in the team's previous fixtures. Both their defences are poor, like, let's be honest here. So I definitely, if you look at FC Cologne's fixtures, certainly, both teams have scored in FC Cologne's fixtures as far back as, God, when was the last time? The 29th of February was the last time they didn't have a both teams to score in there. So yeah, more than happy that Bremen will be able to score against Cologne, and Cologne will have more than enough to score against Bremen. And I think with Bremen having to push in that game, we'll see goals.
Cool. I like that show. I am going to Denmark for mine on the charity bet.
Hate this.
Okay, so I will reason with you. So Andy doesn't like this because he'd a big priced. I've got Nordsjælland and Brøndby to draw, right? And he doesn't like it because Nordsjælland were very good last week. They came out for an outsider. And
very
absolutely
good 4 months.
So Nordsjælland, Brøndby, the last three times they've played have been draws, including 2 weeks, including just before lockdown when it finished on the 8th of the 3rd, where they drew two each. Nordsjælland overall have been very good. They lost to Aarhus. They drew with FC Copenhagen. They lost to Midtjylland and they beat Silkeborg. Brøndby have drawn their last three games as well. Brøndby drew at Aarhus. Brøndby drew at Midtjylland. Brøndby drew at FC Copenhagen. They're a frustrating team to play against. And that was a home, away and home. The last three times these teams have played have been draws. I think a quite a big price, 11-4. Draw.
I like it, but also a lot of the stuff I base this on is fixtures against each other. And Nordsjælland scudding Aalborg and the city at the same time as
scudded
by Aalborg. I'm kind of going, it doesn't add up, but then I have
they
seen...
They weren't scudded by Aalborg. They lost 3-2.
Off a team that they beat 4-0 away. That's a scudding reversal, right?
swing. I just think... So the reason I don't like it is Nordsjælland are by far and away the form team in this league. I would happily back them to win this fixture at odds of even money.
Right.
I'm not advocating other people do it, but I just think if you're looking at all the games possible and trying to pick a winner this weekend, you could easily not go near this game.
They're also tied on points.
There must be better. There's better spots. Like if you're saying it's good, if you're saying it's good value, the draw, then yeah, maybe it is. Maybe the draw is more likely than the odds that you're getting for it. But that's not the point. The charity bet, we're trying to win it.
Yeah, oh, I mean, yeah. 11-4. So I had taken my value bet had been quite low down. So with my charity, when I looked at it, I thought, right, I'm going to put something back into the pot here that I've removed from the value section.
I think I would feel better about the situation in general if you switched them.
Well, if I went value for yeah, my 11... hold on, my value's 11-4, my charity's 2-1. Sorry, my outsider's 2-1.
You might need to change them around.
You know, if you're saying that this is a good bet on a draw because you see there's value in the price, then...
I see value in the price, and I see it has happened multiple times when they played each other. They played the last three iterations of this game have ended in a draw. Brøndby have been getting draws in their last three games. Nordsjælland have been very good.
Brøndby have been scrappy. I mean, two of those draws were 0-0. The other draw was 1-1, I think, against Copenhagen, and it was late. Copenhagen sure thought they had enough to win that. I think Copenhagen even scored late. Hold on.
I'll have a look. Brøndby-Copenhagen was...
Well, Copenhagen scored with 10 minutes to go, and then Brøndby equalised in the 90th minute.
Yes.
So, and that's like, they're the only two goals in their last three full games. I just think the way that Nordsjælland are playing just now and having scudded someone 4-0, if a team is going to be able to score a goal against them, it'll be them.
Would you like a side bet on this, on the podcast?
I think it's important the two of you do.
I think, I'm happy to give you 10 beans on I'll have draw and you can have any other.
Oh no, I'm making pick a day. That's the technology land.
No, I'll take that.
See, any other. I'm confident of my drawing position.
Yeah, it might be a draw. It absolutely might be. I just think if we're trying to win a treble, that is such a dodgy pick. Doesn't mean it won't happen. There's better spots, man, in my opinion. But I hope for the sake of the chat. It's win-win for me now.
Yeah.
You know, if it does, and I get a tenner off Gordon and bragging rights, and if it does come in, we hopefully win a charity bit.
Well, we've been getting 2 out of 3, and I think we know which one Andy thinks is going to be the failure this week.
Yeah, that's it, this week. So it's 1 out of 3 this week. Mine is the only one that comes up.
Aston Villa versus Wolves, away win, even money.
Bremen versus FC Cologne, both teams to score.
Norgiel and Bronby, draw, 11 of 4.
That is the charity bet. So I'll add in, so what I was going to say during the outsider was I actually really fancy a double bet now that I've looked more detail at the scores in the German league. Union Berlin versus Dusseldorf and Bremen versus Köln. I actually fancy both teams to score and draw in both games. There's been 4 score draws in Dusseldorf, 7. So their 4 draws have been score draws. Köln, I've had 3-2-2 draws since returning. That's a mix of home and away. So I really fancy 2 draws and I fancy both teams to score in them because both teams have something to do, I guess. That's how I think that'll go. I also just like the draw in both games. You're getting like 3-1 on both them to be draws individually. So I quite fancy that.
I've just noticed literally right behind my iPad just now, this guy. It's the Bronby mascot.
The Bronby bear. Bronby bear, as he's known.
He's just sitting there, just waiting on a draw.
So that was this week's picks. Guys, huge thanks for all the info on the Facebook group. There's been some fucking tremendous bets going on that. Because this is really the first time. See, because I'm currently in lockdown and also unemployed, it's the first time I've really been able to sit down and actually see what's happening in the Facebook group. There's so much fucking information.
To highlight a few, Craig Begg getting Campanile 5-1 for his... He got that as his... I think it was his £5 free bet for at the 13-15 at Royal Ascot, which was good. Andy, you had a lot of good kind of betting advice.
We did well at Ascot, yeah.
Yeah, at Royal Ascot again. I'm trying to find... My favourite one of the whole week was... Where is he? David Kelly. Having a tenner on 3 like late night teams that came in clearly in the morning. Like when you woke up, oh, there's 55 quid in my account. So congrats on that again as well. Kieran Hennessy, Man City Arsenal correct score. That's another good one. Big thumbs up from me. And some other ones as well in there to boot. And also big shout out to Jacob Feldman, who has successfully got himself out of Panama. So well done.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So congrats. And he's in his hotel room for 2 weeks. So, I mean, he's got this to
looking through some stuff. So I'll be interested.
Cash.
Looking to see what Jacob comes up with. And also what Jared's doing.
Golf has been brilliant. Yeah, he picks
for the last 2 weeks. Generally in the market of top 20 finishes have been really, really good. So if you've got time to do one this week, I look forward to reading that.
Definitely.
And again, another plug. We've been doing midweek episodes. We've been doing UFC episodes. We'll continue to do these videos out on Patreon. Guys, if you want to join the Patreon, it's $5 to support, $10 to get some extra content, and $15 for all the extra stuff. All the sports look like they're opening up again. So we will be pushing stuff more and more. Jared Warren has come back, so we really appreciate that. We appreciate the 10 people that have continued to support us throughout this whole thing because it's kept our licensing and rent because we still have to pay for our studio even though we're fucking... not allowed in it. So it's kept all our costs ticking over. We really appreciate it. Keep it joining the Facebook group, guys, because we said this since day one, and I think when we first started doing a betting podcast, everyone was quick to shoot down when you get stuff wrong. And it's like, I think you said it as well, Andy, the common enemy is not us against you. It's always try to take money at the bookies.
Which we've been doing.
Yeah.
Good success. And we've got a good community on the go now. And obviously, so share the podcast with your friends. If you can support us for $5 a month on the Patreon, that it's so appreciated. Big get out there, get us shared, and let's have another good week.
And to find all our links, content, or to get in touch, just visit tramplebet.com.
Yep. Have a good weekend.
Happy hunting.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.